Ah yes. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to a an episode of Starman and the Boomer without the Boomer because Trig's a bit ill. Joining me, I do have Evelyn though. Say hello, Evelyn.
Yeah, I appear to be the stand-in Trig for some reason, but don't tell him that.
I thought you were gonna say hello, Evelyn there.
I'm not that cerebral today, I'm afraid.
Fair enough, fair enough. I am streaming on a slightly unknown connection. Let me know if it starts buffering or whatever. It should be okay, but I'm not entirely sure if the YouTube backend seems to be going a bit funny with me at the moment. So we will see what happens and what doesn't happen. But all in all, I think the stream should be okay. Apologies again for the microphone quality. I am on a headset mic. It shouldn't be too bad, but like I said, it is just a headset mic. So hopefully we've got the audio settings right though. So we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, you should be coming through. I should be coming through. Everything seems to be fine. We aren't streaming. Like everybody decided to stream tonight, so this will probably be a VOD episode more than anything. But
No, this is a very limited, exclusive
yes,
conversation.
it is. It's not that type of limited hangout, but
Only the select, limited, and blessed few might witness it live.
well, as always, we do still have monetization enabled somehow, so you can donate to us through Streamlabs. That link will be in chat and will be the pinned message, as it usually is. You can join the YouTube channel. There's quite a few people who are still members, which is good. That is a blessing. It does help us, with the beer monies and all that. And also, you can send the normal super chats. So do feel free throughout. But I do realize the live audience will be a little bit limited for this one, naturally. It's also November 4th. I wonder why I was hearing fireworks outside. Then I remembered it's the day before Bonfire Night when we're streaming this. So if you hear any fireworks outside, that's why. But I should probably, I don't know, it's a bit of a smorgasbord today. Since we don't have the boomer and I didn't want to tackle anything too substantive without our usual hosting situation, I thought we'd do a little bit of a roundup.
Seems kind of a wise idea to me.
Well, what we're going to be talking about today is, as you can see in the thumbnail, Greg Youngkin. And I will say that I don't know a huge amount about him. Until he was, it was a. I've been half following some of the US political stuff still because I'd like to keep abreast of it. But, he really was not supposed to. I guess no Republican's supposed to win at the moment. Like this is supposed to be like the massive, like Democratic crushing victory, most popular president of all time, guys. Biden got more votes than anyone in American history, higher turnout than any other election in modern American history.
World's most popular president,
Yeah.
Richard Spencer, verified.
Apart from he's not, I know it's slightly meaningless, but his approval rating is like in the low 40s. It's heading towards the high 30s, it looks like. Everything is shit by design. But it's interesting what's going on. I'll give you the framing for now because this is more of just a jumping off point of what's been going on here. But the election itself was relatively, I don't want to say uncontroversial because it still was, but there was still a lot of this is just how American elections run now. You get the initial like result at midnight, which is the actual votes, and then you have like this trickle of mail-in ballots for days afterwards. That is what happened in Virginia. This Fairfax County reported more early voting. I think this is actually the county that rolled some of that back. They had to admit that they double reported some of these. But they think when it's all said and done, when it all shakes out, that Greg Youngkin will probably only win by about a point, which is ridiculous for how one-sided this election was. He's probably only going to win by about 1%, which shows that, one, this was most likely a landslide, and two, yes, this is the fortification. This is the quote-unquote new electoral normal.
Yes, it's not who gets to count the votes, it's who gets to send in the appropriate number of votes to fortify the result post the election.
There are some people in chat. Hello, people who've just joined us. But yes, it is very much a moving target. We'll come to a tweet about that. Actually, as I come to, I can do it now, because it's right there. But Steppy has has a good post. I like the please no. But yeah, a
Yes.
serious piece of strategic advice for America's red counties: deliberately take as long as you can to report your votes, so the urban centers don't know how many votes they need to find. That is the main, like, putting everything else aside, that is the main, like, process problem with the way the mailing ballots are being done. Is that it is a moving target, and they know how many votes they have to quote unquote find in any of these elections. And it doesn't seem to matter how big the actual margin is. They always make it close, and then like just they wait, and it always goes over the line by like under 10,000 votes.
Whoa,
I love the time it
we won
was.
by half a percentage. No way. Who'd have thought it?
Yeah. Oh, we needed to gain 10,000 votes, and we gained 11. Wow, guys, that's amazing. The usual suspects are doing what they usually do. There's a New York Times article that I think you couldn't load that, but it just says "White racial anxiety strikes again," by somebody. He's literally called Charles M. Blow. He looks made. This guy looks made. This looks like a meme.
He's literally called Chuck Blow.
Yeah. Oh,
Chuck Blow.
formerly Sneed. Is this? Oh man.
Yeah, I don't even. I was gonna say this is the one I didn't actually have a look through before. I couldn't get into it.
I'll also say I don't think we have Streamlabs notifications enabled right now. I could not get them to work satisfactorily, so that'll probably be for just a quick heads up if people do donate. I will read them off though. They just won't pop up on screen, unfortunately. But that's a quick note. But yeah, no, this one's quite generic. It's very much about it's in the same vein as the MSNBC article we're going to come to in a sec. But it's very much the same. Like, you know, he.
Wait, did that mention race mixing?
I don't. Did
It was
it?
somewhere in the third or fourth paragraph.
Yes, it does mention race mixing. Basically, they're talking about busing, and they're talking about, basically what they're doing now is like the second phase of what was done in the 60s
Like
with the.
what a gaslight though. It's like, oh, these white people, they have nothing to even be racially anxious about, and yet they like give you the blatant like Brown v. Board, the Supreme Court decided that you will have black people in your school whether you like it or not, and whether they like it or not.
It's very much this thing, you know, the quote unquote great experiment, as they keep referring to it.
I mean, get like the Southern strategy. Are we even going to talk about LBJ?
100 years. That's a topic for another time. But yes, it is very much along the same vein here, in that what's happening, it's now that they've got their essentially what should be their civil rights paradise. Now that they've reached the end point of their own history, they're going towards the exceptionally blatant propagandizing phase. I'm sure most people realize who are watching this, but to go back over it slightly, this election was fought largely under the auspices of the fact that the government owns your children and can tell them that they are horrendous racist monsters, and there's nothing you can do about it. That was actually like the Democrat election strategy, and this guy won by 1 point apparently, even though the incumbent was telling people that he owned their kids and is going to tell them that they're evil. It seems quite amazing, but there it is. We should probably, I don't know, do you want to get into the MSNBC article? Because this is really just framing. I'm sure a lot of people are aware of the facts of what happened.
I just like some of the language, but how they describe them, though. It's yeah. I think even it mentions in the article that for some reason, they don't go after the corrupt corporate Republican money. They instead go after him as a member of the Trump acolytes. It almost seems as if like people from MSNBC are like, "That's getting tired. Like, stop it. We're gonna run that one out. We've cried wolf and Trump too many times." But I think there was the. I think I've got the quote somewhere in here, actually.
Yes,
Youngkin is a businessman with no political experience because they never win, whose campaign focused on hot button social topics like outrage over school curricula rather than substantive policy decisions, which we were talking
yes.
about slightly before the stream, just sounds insane. It's, you're basically being told by the elites that. You can't decide that it's bad for your children to be told day after day in school that they should hate themselves for their skin color. You can't do that. That's not fair.
Yeah,
That's
it's.
hot button social topics. That's not a substantive policy position.
Yeah, the idea that you can be, horrified by essentially the extremely outward, like, Marxism going on in your classroom. That is not a substantive policy position.
I mean, like, also the idea of this is hot button, as if we haven't been talking about it since, like, I mean, I would say 2014, 2015, that even some of the people who are now MAGA people started talking about how, how subversive a lot of the LGBT stuff was in school. It's probably
Yes.
gone on a lot longer than that, because of course it has, because people have known for decades and decades. But for them, it pull that and then to focus on Trump as if that's, if de-Trumping America is substantive sort of policy discussions that they should be having, then what does that even constitute?
Well, the title of the article is just Glenn Youngkin's victory proves white ignorance is a powerful weapon.
Oh, hell yeah.
They're just doubling, like I
Ignorance
said,
is bliss.
white racial anxiety. It's very what you'd expect, but it is once again turned up to 11. But I guess the main thrust of, I guess what we want to talk about, it is extremely mask off this stuff, but it has been very mask off since like the How We Did It article in Time, like
Yes,
how we fortified the election. There's a little bit of excuse making here as well. Again, more framing. Another MSNBC tweet. This is just a video though, so I'm not going to play it. It's a stupid Racial Matter thing. But they are very much still complaining about the postal service and the vote and the franchise and the idea that anyone at any time can vote before or after an election, and that makes it more democratic. Like it's another like frontier in the expansion of the franchise. That the vote is so precious that you can't check it, you
It needs
can't.
to ex be
Yeah.
extended to the dead, the retarded, the dogs, and the cats.
Yes.
That is the next bastion of global liberal democracy, is making sure that people who aren't even alive can vote.
It's very ballot number go up, democracy increase.
Yes, because I don't think it's either this one or one of the other ones that just like talks about how like year on year we're seeing record turnout. And it's almost always a sort of an association with, I mean, I think we even discussed this briefly with the stuff in the USSR. I mean,
Yeah.
they had massive turnout for their votes,
Yes, they did.
their free and fair elections.
They always had like turnout in the 90s, and every decision was, at least in the 80s in terms of how, what percentage of people wanted it. You have these crazy elections where 96% of people vote, and they vote 89% or like 95% one way or the other. It's really just getting towards that. Where you have these like ridiculous amounts of people voting, but it's like the opposite. You have these deadlock votes in which one side is clearly won, but the other side is trying to dig up as much as humanly possible to just nudge it back over the line because everything's so gerrymandered and everything is so like deliberately manipulated in terms of like how the vote takes place. It's this like mass and scale of voting and these tiny margins that make it look, you have elections in which millions of people vote and like the decision is made by like 7,000 votes.
Well, there's also a thing. I think this is part of something you wanted to talk about. When you start doing things like gerrymandering and, chasing the correct number of districts you need across an aggregate and not across the individual state and stuff like that, you end up with incredibly weird sort of local election results going on.
Yes.
You have these bizarre sort of patchwork cities and counties and stuff like that that would actually be able to run together if they were voting purely for their own local interests. But as soon as, what they do locally becomes part of the bigger election map or the electoral college, them trying to vote for a local workable government isn't the goal anymore of that system. Instead of it provides a result for elsewhere, and everything else becomes a secondary process.
Well, you end up with, yeah, the people talk about the fact that, oh, it's not a democracy, it's a republic. But, like, that doesn't work either, because you end up, like you said, with these situations in the, because of a first past the post system, people end up wrangling about the method of democracy rather than realizing just, it will always either be just the big tyranny of the majority or this weird gerrymandered electoral college approach in which you have, like, districts shaped like fractals with disconnected pieces in other districts. Because that's something that happens. It's quite hilarious when you see, oh, this district is shaped like this, and large parts of it don't join to the other parts of it. So
Yes.
how is this a district? How is this not just a maths game of
You end up
knowing?
you
Sorry,
end
go.
up cutting up sort of local communities as well.
Yeah.
You'll end up with one side of a main street being a Republican county, another one Democrat, purely, as you're saying, just to make up the numbers, or make a bigger catchment area of the Hispanic, what would the phrase, plantation you've got in your district.
Yes. There's also an election going on in New Jersey, which seems to
New
have been
Jersey.
fortified as well. There's a Daily Mail article here, because I think this is the one that talks about record turnouts. I'm not sure though. It might be one of the other ones, but we've talked
I
about that
think it
already.
might be this one.
Yeah, it's Citarelli campaign said decision to call New Jersey governor's race for Democrat Phil Murphy was irresponsible. This is once again a race that was not supposed to be close. Yeah, there's less than one. There's like 0.8% separating them, and once again, they keep like the Republicans ahead overnight by like 5%, and it slowly eroded as they found more and more and more of these mail-in ballots. It's like I said, this is just political reality now, but it is close enough for the recount. But the media has verified it. It has been verified. TM, it has been locked in by the Associated Press, who are qualified to call elections, apparently. They are the people who are the arbiters of the result, and it's just being railroaded through. It's quite funny that a lot of people are saying that there's 16 days, I think, for them to appeal the result, and they're saying it could take up to 3 weeks for them to find all the ballots. So
Or did they lose some of them down the back of the sofa?
Apparently, yes. That
Mate Keith's got a few in his front room, and the guy up the road owes me five or six, and we've got a shipment coming in on Tuesday, but we're not allowed to tell you.
yeah, there is apparently 0.8% separating them, which again I think is within the recount margin. Yeah, it has. Look at that. Look at the number of votes that this is separated by. It's just ridiculous that you have two. 2.3 million people voting, and it comes down to like maybe what is that, like 15,000 votes, just less than. They're separated by, yeah, there's about 30,000 votes there. It's even closer now. Yeah, it's only 0.6% now apparently. So. I remember that was 1 a.m. Thursday, but it is kind of insane that this, yeah, 9% of the votes reporting Murphy leads. Yeah, by 29,000 votes out of two, like over 2 million. That's again, this is more just the framing here. We all know this. We all know it's going to happen. But this is just the process now. People are just told to accept this.
No, this is what this whole process is. I mean, a lot of the Arizona audit stuff that was going on for weeks and weeks and weeks. I mean, it
Months.
got to the point where you had like people like Rudy Giuliani actually coming up, these people who were stalwarts and were meant to bring out the Kraken and all this,
Yeah.
talking about how it's a dead effort. And it's, I don't know, the it just seems to me that they would have to be doing this for some reason. You know, they're either dragging this out as, you know, a ritual humiliation of just everybody, because they did it blatantly in broad daylight, and they bragged about it, and then they're showing you month after month after month, you know, basically a year now, pretty much spot on a year that they've been at trying to prove that this has all been rigged, and nothing's come of it. Not one county, not one city, not one district or anything has been declared as illegitimate. And therefore, not, you know, calls the whole federal election into question. It seems to me just to, almost in a certain sense, keep people within the realms of thinking that they can somehow save democracy,
Yeah,
and that questioning democracy in and of itself would not be the thing they want you to do from this.
the process has become even more of a quagmire, like by design. It has become this weeks long slogging. It's even more about registering voters, harvesting ballots. It's become like this, instead of just a day of ballot casting, it's become this weeks long bureaucratic process in which people, can influence the results of these massive elections because they are all of them so ridiculous. Like, how are all these elections so ridiculously close? It doesn't make any sense. Like, they shouldn't be like this.
I think the one I always was surprised by was, I think, is that the number of counties that
Yeah.
Biden actually won across America entirely was only about 10, was it like 10.3% or something like that?
Yes.
And it was, I think it was literally the lowest number of counties you could have and also win by population numbers or some weird algorithm like that.
It was basically like as they got what they needed to get and nothing more.
Yes,
And even then it
it,
looks
it,
incredibly suspicious.
you know, yeah, it's so well calculated. It's anyone that doesn't, it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like what a good gatekeeping thing. Anyone that doesn't instantly just presume that it's rigged is just not worth talking to.
No. But I'm going to quickly go back to the MSNBC article here. Because this, again, you talked about Youngkin and, them saying he has no political experience as an insult and things like that. But there's a little bit here where it talks about critical race theory is a college level field of study that is not taught in Virginia K-12 schools. It's basically like them going out and teaching people communist principles. And then saying, well, we don't actually teach Lenin, that's for college students. It's this.
It's just language games. It always is. It's just
Yeah.
chewing you out of your fucking dignity.
It's. We don't teach critical race theory, because critical race theory is what they teach the activists who then go and teach the children they're racist. Just, but yeah, it's become a catch-all phrase for intellectually lazy people, many of them white, who want to stigmatize any discussion around American racism. They're talking about the fact that they're teaching 5 and 6 year olds that America is a structurally racist nation that they need to essentially have some sort of Marxist revolution against, and that they are gaslighting people into thinking that this doesn't exist in the teaching materials that they have seen. We saw all this stuff with the school boards previously. We talked about that with parents essentially being declared terrorists. The FBI has been told to investigate anyone speaking out at school boards. And this is the way it's framed. The way it's framed is that he essentially made this issue up completely, and that he won by like deceiving and pandering to these like horrendously racist white people who don't understand what's going on and are just scared of integrated schools, basically.
There is, I think there's a reason why they are attacking, that there is always a reason why they're attacking these people. I mean, I'm not 100% read up on this Glenn Youngkin character either, but by the sounds of it, you'll see in one of the later paragraphs after the image, in the final weeks of his campaign, Youngkin focused almost exclusively on attacking lesson plans about inequality. He hosted multiple Parents Matter rallies where attendants could gather to express outrage over school curricula. Last week, his campaign focused, or sorry, released an ad featuring a white mother who fought to have beloved Toni Morrison's Pulitzer Prize novel about slavery banned from her son's school district. He knows the score. He's well aware that you just cancel them. Just go out and cancel their stuff. Title IX, their nonsense. No wonder they sort of just came out for the kind of jugular by instantly associating with Trump and white nationalists and anything they can.
Well, there's some like aspect to them like huffing their own farts, and Trump is still incredibly popular in the United States.
You can hear it in the way that, the Youngkin campaign discovered that this contingent of angry, willfully ignorant white people was the key ingredient to elect a GOP governor in Virginia for the first time since 2009.
Well, there's this paragraph here. Trump's endorsement could have been a detriment to Youngkin in a state Trump lost by about 10 percentage points last year.
I'm sure he
This
did.
doesn't make this doesn't make electoral sense. Someone who is actually more substantively conservative than Trump in many ways, standing on a platform saying many of the same things, endorsed by Trump. He wins the state, and yet Trump loses it, a year earlier by 10 percentage points.
Yeah,
That doesn't
like
make
what?
any fucking sense. Especially with like how fever pitched they went with the coverage of Youngkin as this like arch racist. He said Youngkin managed to endear himself to voters with a platform designed to shield Americans from the reality of the country's racist history.
Well, I mean, at least they're openly willing to talk about liberal enclaves as if like they don't exist.
Well, there's this whole thing of the double speak that we've been seeing throughout since 2015, like you talked about. The double speak is that critical race theory doesn't exist. Also, it's good, and we need to teach it. It's this thing isn't being taught. Also, here's why it is being taught and why it's good.
We don't teach this to your children, but if you won't let us teach it to your children, you're racist.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly what's going on here. But I don't have the tweets to hand, unfortunately. There's a couple of them I saw. I think I actually retweeted it from our good friends Tho Bishop and well, not good friend, someone we like. Tho Bishop and our good friend Peter Aquinas, who was talking about the fact that this is a lot more substantive than anything the LP has done.
Yes.
The real we're actually getting to the real, the real meat of the topic here, which is the fact that what Youngkin did and t using this as like a stick to beat them with tactically, and just going out there and hammering the single issue of you control, your children's education, not the state. You need to be in
Yeah,
control of this.
it's the same idea as DeSantis, take the aspects of the state that have been used against you and use it to beat your enemies whilst you have the chance, because otherwise it's not happening.
And the point here is that a lot of people, especially who are LP party libertarians, let's say, will go on about the duopoly, and they'll go on about the fact that there is literally no difference between the Democrats and the Republicans because they're the same party. They're all terrible, authoritarian statists. They don't understand liberty, and by engaging with either of them, it's the same wing, two wings of the same bird, as they say.
Yes.
And it's horrendously
Well, I don't know if we want to use this as the lead-in as to why it's ridiculous to suggest that with some of the OSHA mandate stuff that supposedly has come directly down from Biden and
Yes.
would be a prime example of why even someone like, say, for example, Trump, despite how useless he may be in a number of ways, he didn't do this and didn't
No.
seem to want to do something like this.
No, it's that you can have less bad options. What I want to stress to people is that saying that you are willing and capable of taking action outside of the political, the traditional political sphere, what is considered traditional political activism, does not preclude you from like going as hard as possible within the political. Like, in fact, you should do. Like, I can't believe that there's this group of people who seems to like sit on the sidelines and say, well, all mainstream politics is bad, therefore you shouldn't participate in any of it. That is not what any of us has ever been saying. If that's the takeaway people have got, you've not been listening properly. And there's a huge amount of people who don't seem to understand that there are massive differences within the Republican Party itself, never mind between the Republican Party and the Democrat Party.
But no, the main point is, as you're suggesting, Tho Bishop, especially one of those people, a lot of the folk out of Florida, some of the people that were trying to do stuff in Georgia that hasn't quite worked, have sat down essentially with members from their local GOP and have told them, if you support this stuff, like vaccine mandates, critical race theory, etc., etc., you will not, you'll be lucky to even stand at the next election.
Yes.
And I would surprise that I wouldn't be surprised if language outside of, shall we say, or into the realms of extra political behaviour is probably being used to describe the way people might act if some of this stuff is to go further.
That's the thing is you have to make them steal the election. That's the thing. Like, you have to push them to that point. You have to provoke them. As I keep telling people, attack them on all fronts.
Well, no, you kind of have to essentially suggest that, or remind, say, for example, some local Republican councillor or Senate member or whoever it is that has the ability to say no, that if they do not say no, they will be held responsible for the consequences of not saying no.
Ah, yes,
And that.
this was the tweet I was thinking about. He was responding to someone saying, "Libertarians have no understanding at all of what just happened in Virginia, nor why this populist victory renders the LP and all of its caucuses utterly irrelevant." And Tho Bishop's reply was just in quotes, "You know who won last night? The duopoly." Which basically this tweet was the entire inspiration for the stream, but
That's kind of funny, actually. The one opportunity we could all agree upon, there actually being a change outside of the left-right sphere that is clearly for an issue and a value that we
Yeah.
could agree on, as upon being right-wing, that then becomes the win for the system. I mean, it shows you that for years and years, those arguments that have been coming out of libertarians are not motivated because of principle. They're motivated because you're agreeing with the wrong side. And that's why, consequently, when something happens that should really actually be against both sides, it is then argued as the furtherance of them.
Yeah, it shows that a lot of libertarians as well are just completely like ideologically, politically myopic to labels.
Yes.
That's the other thing that they are beyond useless in that aspect as well, and that they aren't willing to say that I guess the tip of the sphere of the populist right in the US, within the acceptable sphere of the Republican Party, is doing something substantive and saying something that might actually have some kind of impact. And they are just unable or unwilling to be able to celebrate what is an actual possible political victory. They have to, like, he has to shit the bed now. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people are just saying, oh, he's not going to do anything. But it's just like, no, he has to actually shit the bed now, because he has made some quite lofty promises and used some quite effective rhetoric. And the fact that a lot of people would just go, "Re two-party system, you no one in either party's any good," is just, you see so much of it. You see so much of it within things like LP circles, or a lot of people who are like radical centrists who've been like, "Well, we can't do, we can't ban books in the school system. This may be teaching children that they're racist monsters, but we can't actually ban the books."
Well, I think there was one of, again, it was another one of those tweets from last night, talking about how you don't have the right not to be discriminated against.
Yes.
Just he's just taken weeks of what we've been saying directly out of our heads. This libertarianism that is entirely separated from liberalism,
Yes.
which is the way it needs to be.
I think I also you basically quoted it verbatim, but yeah, that's what he said. He came out and he's been saying some relatively, well, not relatively, some very base stuff, to be honest. I'll see if I can find that one as well. But the yeah, they say in chat, a lot of people who are hand-wringing about this are counter-signalers.
Yes.
You beware the counter-signaler, for that is mostly what the Tory boys end up being as well. But you can't be someone who is interested in substantive change and then get upset when substantive change starts coming from a corner of the political spectrum that you're not particularly, not your pet project, basically. Again, it's people seem to want to make their pet issues succeed rather than anything else. Yeah, there is no victory in Virginia without Trump. There is no Republican who can beat Trump. It's amazing how powerful he still is politically. Like he really was. He won that election. He's the popular leader. He like sits on the side. He's like this figure who sits on the sidelines, and the establishment still like shits itself when he rears his head. There we go. Sorry, I have found the tweet. Because he's quote tweeting something. Yeah, he's you have no right to not be discriminated against. I don't support a vaccine ban because of rights. I support a vaccine ban because I want to protect my allies and punish. Very Schmidt-pilled.
Yes,
Anyone mandating
exactly.
a vax at this point is an enemy of my nation. Its hope lies with resistors. It's that kind of language that's needed, though. He's
What I find hilarious is that I know that person. He's quote tweeting.
That's quite funny.
But no, this is the only correct opinion. I mean, we can't. It was almost like that. I can't believe I came across that Carlyle quote earlier on when I was reading. I was like, that's too good.
What
It's
is the quote?
too. It was the. It Oh God, I kind of lost it now.
You've lost it.
Yes. Are not all true men that live or that ever lived soldiers of the same army, enlisted under heaven's captaincy to do battle against the same enemy, the empire of darkness and wrong?
That's pretty good.
Well, it just that is how it needs to be seen, though, and clearly, though, as we've used an example of, and some of the other people have talked about, is an exa is someone who grasps on that sort of even slightly metaphysical level that. Even though the there may not be concrete similarities between all of us and concrete differences with all of them, we can sense in spirit that it is there.
Yes. Well, that brings me on to a little bit of what I wanted to make fun of, which is the fact that this very much reminds me of a lot of the horseshoe theory stuff. A lot of people who cannot identify the differences between different people, different ideas, and different parts of the same political party that may have vastly different kind of
Well,
vastly different pull to them.
I think that's the thing is we need to think about what the polarity people have inside their heads is when it comes to any political issue. And the polarity isn't actually left right, it's left liberal. So when you go further and you're actually on the right and you want to enforce some form of value.
Yeah.
That's how you end up, despite the fact that the beliefs is misspelled, this is where you end up. If you are the liberal, it does look like the horseshoe to you. I mean,
Yeah.
I think that's maybe the point that people have missed for years when they talk about the horseshoe is that you have to see it as a liberal, anti-liberal thing. And
Okay, I
that.
did misspell bully. God damn it. No. I spelled it right in the other one, though, I think.
Dimslings.
Beams. No, it. Well, the thing is, what happens is that the what is acceptably different are really the far edges of the Overton window, in that you have what is considered the acceptable position on the left and the acceptable position on the right, which is really just like.
Well, no, you don't have a right
No,
position.
that's the
You
that's the.
have the acceptable left position, or there is the liberal position, which is assumed to be right.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. It's within like mainstream political thought, though. It's about perception. That's the whole point. It's also the issue of neutrality as well. That what they do is they put themselves in the central neutral position, and you know what is acceptable to them then becomes the left and right edges in quotes. What is acceptable to them then becomes the window. Like horseshoe theory is literally just somebody looking at the Overton window and going, my subjective concept of politics is objectively right. Like that's why it's such a horrendous like midwit take. We'll get onto that in a bit, but because I, you know what, I'll show it now. But the other image I made was just that because it mirrors it so well. It quite literally is the people who believe in horseshoe theory are like the top of the horseshoe is like the peak of the IQ bell curve. It is the 100 IQ people.
It's just, it gets so hilarious now. I mean, it was obvious for years, and it took the combination of reading the right things and really looking at it to see it. But once you do, you can't see outside of it.
No,
And if it wasn't for the fact that Americans had used the word liberals misplacedly for years and years, we would have pinpointed what's actually going on here.
there you go. You can be less triggered now because I spelled beliefs right in this image, but it goes. Yeah, it really is that like anything people don't understand gets put into this like everything is the same box. It's like it really is. It's like thing I don't understand and opposite of thing I don't understand are literally the same.
Well, it's what I think the opposite of thing I do not understand.
Yeah.
That's like the whole, like, putting Evola in amongst communists because he thinks that post World War II communism and post World War II capitalism as a form of society are near indistinguishable from each other.
Yeah, they like, the left won in the 40s. They pulled this into this world, this post-war world, in which the acceptable neutral position is like so far left of where things were in even 1900. It's unrecognizable, and that's just what people live in. They just live in their own like they live in their own heads of this. Like they don't realize that there is political thought outside of it. And I made this bit, but it's just like it really is the fact that you have to be able to identify that good things are good and bad things are bad. Like Greg Youngkin saying that the state shouldn't brainwash your children is a good thing, no matter where
Yes.
you sit politically.
Well, that's the issue, isn't it? Is the political mechanism has got to the point now whereby the only space for freedom is within saying no to things,
Yeah.
and by saying no in such a manner that other people can't involve themselves in it, because it's kind of weird thinking about it, but there is the greater good, and there is our greater good, which is like the real one.
Yeah, it's like you have to believe in like an objective moral framework, not objective. You have to believe in a higher moral framework. Sorry, you can't believe that there is an objective moral framework, but you can believe that there is a higher moral framework,
Well,
and.
you have to at least first understand that there is no three poles when it comes to polar or sort of moral polarity. There is not like good, bad, and here's what we do in the middle. You do something that is either good or is bad. Especially in the political sphere, there is no morally neutral actions.
No, and there is no politically neutral position, which is what all of this is based on. It's what people's conception of the duopoly comes from. Like, the stuff about the duopoly is indistinguishable from people's rhetoric about horseshoe theory. When you get libertarians talking about the fact that a mainstream political party is doing it, therefore it's bad. It is exactly the same way someone who is a centrist says, well, someone who is associated with Le Nazis said this, so this is automatically bad. You know, they're all, I don't understand these ideas. These ideas are extremist, and therefore they are bad. They sit outside of my window of comfort. I can't deal with them. It's the exact same reasoning. It's the exact same like allergy that people have to actually looking at people and issues in under their own merit, rather than attaching them to, you know, even left-right stuff is horrendously incomplete and like neuters people's thinking to a horrendous degree. But it's the way you have to frame it because colloquially you have to use that shorthand because it's the only way many people can think politically. And it's the way that a lot of things are framed and talked about, but it is, you know, it is really an affectation of the, again, the French Revolution ruining everything.
Well, I think this is something I know we've at least talked about sort of in person. I think we've kind of briefly mentioned it on here before, but it is that ultimate limitation of those people who can only see the world by labels. You know, they cannot see the world as a complex set of values arranged across, you know, orders from good to bad. It's just a stramash of things, and they're only really good or bad when it's convenient to say that they're good or bad when someone else is doing them, so that you can sort of underhandedly support them, because that's all liberalism can do.
Well, I th this is still one of my favorite drill tweets. It's like top five, but it's yeah. The wise man bowed his head solemnly and spoke. There's actually zero difference between good and bad things, you imbecile, you fucking moron. I mean, that's the entire thing right there. That's basically exactly what. Anyone who believes in horseshoe theory, or anyone who believes that, you know, mainstream political parties are irredeemable and nothing good can come from under their umbrella, that is the core tenet that they share. That there is good and bad things are the same, guys, don't you see?
There's at least a sort of interesting thing, though. You could actually use the horseshoe to talk about grifters. You could have like the grifting horseshoe.
Possibly.
And that was kind of part of one of the things you were talking about before, was the fact that, you know, someone like AOC does actually fit on the left end of the horseshoe, but someone like who we were talking about earlier on, Gregor Youngkin or whatever it is, he doesn't fit on the right side of that because
Then Yunkin,
he's
yeah.
not operating from the same motivations, you know, or at least if we're to believe. He is not signaled his sorry. Oof. He's not signaled himself as a grifter in any way yet, and he's not asking for something that the system doesn't already do, which is the fundamental part. When somebody like AOC is asking for things that are already in the process of happening, that's why it looks like they have success, and that's why people get caught up thinking that they are the people driving that progress when they aren't.
Yes, mildly unrelated, but this is actually my favorite drill tweet, which is just, meanwhile, while you were gaming, I tasted 100 different wines in a cave beneath the waterfall and cried into a shaman's arm. I don't know, that tickles me so much. But sorry, interrupting you with drill there, and not the brat kind. That's a reference that the American audience just will not get. Drill music. It's what the ting goes. You're right in that there is similarities between, you know, there are similar phenomenon on either supposed side of the political spectrum, but that is a weird like. It's a weird coincidence of the fact that there's grifters who claim to have ideas but really don't.
Well,
I kind
I
of.
think I guess a better way of identifying them, to be honest, is like, are you asking for something that doesn't currently exist? Because if you are, then you must be doing something.
Yes, you're right. What, you know, whether he is an honest actor or not, What Greg Yunkin is asking for is, is substantively different than what is currently going on. And if you believe, if you are, have even your toe in quote unquote this side of the internet, I think you will agree with his efforts to basically get rid of brainwashing from American schools. I did see AA doing some trolling on this very topic, though. There's actually a relevant tweet here from someone called Julia Laufey, who is some horrendous mainstream journalist, talking about demographics and the fact that basically Chad Youngkin made the white man begin to hate, and apparently did better demographically with black women than Trump did. So there's that. I think that's just the fact that they use like so many dead black women for the for the ballot stuffing, though.
Oh, pay yo pimps.
Again, these numbers don't make any. This just again just makes the 2020 election look even more fishy because these numbers don't make any sense either. But she's like, if you have any questions about what Virginia governor's race was really about, and then he's been doing it all day, but she gets audited. She gets early life audited, let's say. It's usually that, yeah, that's been the chorus of propaganda from le mainstream journals, is that this is, as they said after the 2016 election, the whole white lash thing, the idea that this class of people who are like politically untouchables on the left, they are basically a group of people who you do your 2 minutes hate against. I know a lot of the people who are like, talking about, white identity are falling into their trap, but this is the way they use their rhetoric. They have, very, very heavily weaponized that. You are essentially in like it is essentially a political race war, and that has been going on really since the 60s, since the Democrats flipped from being the party that promised to expand the state because it would protect the white man under Woodrow Wilson. By the way, great pivot we'll get into at some point in the democratization stuff, because LBJ and Woodrow Wilson essentially used the same mechanisms to gain power. Even though they seem like diametrically opposed when it comes to rhetoric, it's fascinating how they do that. But anyway, I'm getting a bit off track there. Yeah, the early life journals are out in force.
Ah, great, fantastic. Now let me see their early life.
Show me the early life. Show me the early life. Is there anything else you want to cover about the election stuff?
Nothing really springs to mind that we haven't kind of already said, I think.
Yeah, well,
But it's become so blatant now that no one other than people who are directly leftist and have ties to probably the Biden administration directly are not involved in this. There is a finger in every single pie needed to make sure that not only can they fortify the election, but the result continue to remain fortified throughout history, much like the whole Nixon Kennedy nonsense in 1960, because people still don't understand that happened, and they did it, and they got away with it, and since the 60s, no one has cared because it was Nixon. And the only redeeming feature might be that people will remember this one in future because of how much of a strange character Trump was. But if
yes.
it continues to go the way that it's going, they will always remember Trump as someone who tried to save democracy, not someone who showed how corrupt it is in and of itself, which
Yes.
is the ultimate loss there.
Again, what I want to stress to people is that not believing the system will save you isn't the same as saying that you can't utilize stuff within it to like beat your political opposition with. Like you said, the DeSantis stuff. We don't talk a huge amount apart from these kind of catch-up streams when either one of us is ill or we don't have much time about a lot of the mainstream political stuff. But it is important to keep abreast of it. It's important to keep pushing in those areas. It's about a mindset. The mindset shouldn't be that you subsume yourself in these actions like many people do, and it becomes your entire method of, expression. But you need to tactically understand the differences between different groups of elites and who to ally yourself with. and where you can push within what is considered, acceptable political action, because it's short-circuiting that system to the point where they have to basically come and get people is the way forward. It's the only way to get a lot more people engaged is to rob them of their safety blanket and to make the people in power just put on these ugly displays of force, like what
Yeah.
happened in the 2020 election.
Well, you either make it impossible for those in your local area who are trying to govern you to govern you, or you go out of your way to make sure that those people understand that you know. Sorry, that, oh, I've lost my word there. No, that's slightly annoying. That'll come back to me. Never mind.
Well, it is local issues. Like, state elections are still where these things can be upsets. Local elections here in the UK, although there is a bit less power in that. Here in the UK, we have actually a. Like, people talk about how divided, quote unquote, the US is and how diametrically opposed the parties are and how terrible it is. But, like, we have essentially, like, EU style politics still here in the UK, in that we do have this conglomerate political class. To an extreme degree, far more than what's happening in the US. And being able to differentiate that is important too. Just the fact that you have the Boris Johnson government is very different than the Trump government was. He is not someone who's under siege from the institutions around him, because he's played ball with the lockdown stuff and now he's playing ball with the climate change stuff. Same with Greg Youngkin. He's not someone who's going to, as readily cuck to the establishment as, like your Newt Gingrich's would, as your other rhinos would. It's very important when presented with the option between, bad and less bad, you keep choosing less bad because that will at least delay your demise.
Well, no, sorry. What I was going to say was you either show to those people in your local area that you will not be governed by them, or you use the local government apparatus to make your local area untenable for those people who wish to govern over you in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's.
You have to use local measures, like, say, for example, outright banning vaccine passports for businesses. And people who are then quote unquote health conscious or vaccine conscious, well, they'll just not live there anymore. And that's ultimately what you want.
Yeah, it's
You don't
what the.
want you don't just want those people to be subjugated by yourself. You want to get rid of them by whatever means.
Yeah, that's the important part is that you can like start just hijacking and sabotaging large sections of your local political machinery. People have started doing it. They're trying to do it in Georgia, like you pointed out, but not so much avail, unfortunately. But places like Florida, again Virginia, that there are these kind of like these upsets, these genuine upsets, which show that they actually can't fix it hard enough sometimes. Because the disgust, especially when it's being done to children, again, there's this big obsession. It's they always have to humiliate people via their children. That's like the ultimate step, and sometimes it backfires like this. But like without like substantive change of the
This isn't
process,
even a proper backfire yet.
no, it's not. It's again, it's a politically mainstream backfire. But they're. If you keep pushing in that direction, either you do have some success, or they snap back and again, they come and get you. It's just.
Well, the only thing we can really do in that circumstance is not give them anything soft to push into.
Yes.
Which is what I'm hoping people do. I mean, when the thing came out the other week about how the FBI was going to start looking into PTA meeting groups that didn't want critical race theory in their schools, at that point you should be barricading your local school
Yeah.
and essentially making a symbolic kind of show of like, we will not be ousted. And if that is where the line is crossed, and good. However, I don't know. I always suggest that, and then it never happens. People just allow it to happen, and it's they're gonna have to let it get so much worse before anyone does anything about it, if they ever do.
That's the problem with relying on Shilly this time. But it's
Ugh.
interesting, while it can still happen, to have these, these less bads take place, let's say, and
Yes.
people who are not able to capitalize on them and celebrate them are like politically dead. Those are the real Black Pill people. Like, never let anyone tell you that we are like, oh, a lot of people talk about, oh, you're just nihilist, you're just Black Pill. It's just like you fundamentally, materially do not understand what we're talking about. If that is your takeaway from what we say, you don't understand what's being explained to you. Anyway, I think we've come to the end of our stream today. I want to do a shorter one anyway because I'm a bit short on time. And obviously Trig's not here, so we're doing a bit of a fill-in a fill-in this
But
week while
I
Trig's
don't
not.
think anyone's really well, though, are they?
No, everyone's got colds, so. Oh, I forgot to say, but I tested positive for the coof.
Oh, have you? Oh, should we quickly insert the just for the sake of laughing at it, because it's ridiculous.
What's this?
The whole Lincoln Project thing.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we haven't. Yeah, I was gonna finish on that as a quick one. But the oh, where's that gun now? Sorry, I seem to have lost it.
is in the DMs.
There it is. Sorry, it's yeah. Internal emails show how a Lincoln Project tiki torch stunt went wrong. Basically, the Lincoln Project, in association with the Virginia Democrats, because as we all know, Republican organizations work hand in hand with Democrats, legitimate ones anyway. And the Lincoln Project, fresh off their continuing controversy of like seven members touching young boys, they decided to stage a Charlottesville style tiki torch fake solidarity thing that immediately got like called out. Yeah. It was an act of desperation to try and sabotage Glenn Youngkin's campaign.
It's so desperate though. Like actually having to go out there and wear these outfits as if like, yeah, this Glenn Youngkin dude, he definitely killed Heather Hare.
Oh God. God, I sometimes forget about Heather here.
Well, people seem to forget that like we get a hyped up story for weeks about the whole stuff in Charlottesville. Only for the local bloody police chief and mayor and whatever else to say that they weren't going to do anything about it, and that ultimately anyone that got hurt on that day, be it the weird helicopter team that crashed for some reason or another, is all their fault. And that for some reason the death again of Heather Hare has been entirely pinned on the entire right wing in America, including even the establishment. And not her faulty heart.
Not the fact that she was like 400 pounds and had to be lifted out of like a fucking rhinoceros.
How do you defibrillate someone that's got like 8 inches of insulation?
Ah, God.
How do you resuscitate like a jelly?
Oh man, it's just it was desperate, and it was Democrat activists again working with the Lincoln Project people, but it just shows how like embarrassing. And like, think about how many of these they get away with, though. Like, think about how much of this goes on and just unquestioningly gets reported. I also wanted to point out before we go that there is a Republican Party Mises Caucus. Which is quite good. We are explicitly right wing. Take responsibility, take power. That's actually pretty based. I like the idea of just like getting into these local Republican meetings and like to like what's been happening in the local areas, just tossing out the rhinos and telling them that
Yeah,
they're
no,
coming for the Satan worshippers.
turn up with your copy of Hopper's What Is to Be Done and just read it. Just read it to them, because that's what that again, Phil Bishop, that was his whole script. Just turn up to your local thing and read it. Tell them exactly what you stand for and how uncompromising you are in it. And hopefully a few people will stand up with you, as they should if they're in good spirits.
thankfully. Well, hopefully, yes. Anyway, thank you guys for watching this slightly impromptu stream. Thank you everyone for joining me. I'm kind of still on the road-ish. I'm living away from home for the time being. So streams may be a bit more sporadic and my mic may be a little headsetty for a while. But I don't know, it's been a good stream. I've enjoyed it. And thank you guys for tuning in. I know there's a lot of watching options right now. Very diverse Tiki Torch protest. They had to like the fake Tiki Torch protest is not the place to have like the model UN. That was a bit of a weird decision on their part.
One of the mutts escaped.
We'll try and have some more substantive democratization stuff when Trig's better.
I think we've kind of got to a point where some of that, it might be the case of doing some bulk reading for a few
Yes.
specials and
Yes, we
then.
do have some very meaty specials to do though. I have some more articles in the works. I'm hoping to get them done before early next week. Like maybe have something to put out Monday, Tuesday. I've got a few ideas that I've been working on, but I just haven't had time. I've also been a little bit ill myself and busy because I've had to work from home, which takes longer because I'm not set up where I am currently. So I will keep you guys updated though. Thank you to every. Sorry, what were you
I was
saying?
gonna say I might not have I don't think I'll work on anything this week. I might have something written at some point next week. It depends. I'm trying to read through lots of Carlyle at the moment.
Yes, do check out the Substack. I will put that in the chat for people who haven't seen that yet. I do put out community posts about it as well, so keep an eye on the community tag. But there'll be more content from us. I'm kind of enjoying as I do being behind the scenes talking to people. There's a lot of people who've really taken up a lot of these ideas and are doing a lot of reading, so that's encouraging to see. And we'll hopefully have something a bit less pundity for you next week.
Whoa, no guarantees.
It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye.
Bye.